What the f***?
No, it's okay. On this show, you can say fuck.
All right, it's another episode of What the Fuck, and as always, Jillian is amped up. If you guys, in our 100th episode, you guys might get to hear some of the pre-show nonsense that her and I go through.
I never do nonsense. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm always 100. I can't go through that just a straight face.
And you know what? I've got about 20 outtakes that I've saved that prove that you're a liar, too.
What? Me?
Yes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
All right, let's just get
into let's just
get into this week's.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Jillian, you brought this to me, so take it.
All right, as you guys know, if you are avid listeners, I am a cosplayer. This article I came across, and essentially it's people hating on this girl because she is a black girl who cosplays as non-black characters. Number one thing. 99% of anime and manga characters are Asian. They live in Japan, but nobody has a problem with, you know, white girls dressing up. So that's like that right there. And it's just, it kills me because you have gender changes where girls dress up like Link. I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures of Manfei from Faye from Cowboy Bebop. There's also a guy dresses up as a Sailor Moon, and he's, you know, a big guy. Not necessarily as in, you know, those are prime examples of cosplay, but obviously these guys love these characters enough to dress up, and most people are just get a kick out of it. When I see people like that, I'm thoroughly impressed. I say, nice fucking job, man. And I mean it. I'm not making fun of them. We went to Wizard World and there was a guy on full on Catwoman Batman Returns outfit rocking the heels. And yeah, he was a big guy with the gut. But you know what? If you're comfortable with yourself and that's your character that you want to dress up in, more power to you. But okay, here's the thing on this. The girl posted her picture on Facebook and she was Sailor Venus from Sailor Moon. And, you know, she did a little pose and suddenly comments came out, really racist comments like N-word Venus, what was it, Sailor Venus Williams, things like that. And I just have a huge problem with this. It's like, really, you know, it's like you're dressing up like a character. Her cosplay was amazing. It's not like she went out there with, you know, trash bags as clothes or whatever.
Costume, yeah.
And I mean, even then, I get it. I understand there's hardcore cosplayers and there's people who don't have the funding or the capability and, you know, whatever. But those people do get made fun of. But I mean, this is strictly because she's a black girl not dressing as a black character, which if you watch anime, it is kind of one-sided. There's not a whole lot of black characters. There are some series that, you know, have black characters. I'm not saying that. The majority of series take place in Tokyo or Japan or somewhere. So these are Asian cartoon characters, whether they have, you know, the big bubbly eyes and, you know, not traditional Asian looks. There is a picture of her dressed up as one of the Disney princesses, and it was the, what was it, the Frog Princess? Is that the terminology? I don't know which princess it is.
I haven't
but
seen that movie.
The one from the Frog Princess. Who?
I haven't seen the movie, so okay. I don't know what she's called.
But yeah, if you don't know, and there was actually hubbub with this, is I think it's the first one, but it was a black Disney princess. So there's a picture of her in that, and I can guarantee you, if a white girl dressed up as, you know, the Frog Princess, nobody would have said something unless black people who feel the same racism towards white people that these people are commenting on, you know,
well,
this girl.
It also comes down to, now, I've yelled on Radiodrome numerous times about when they change the ethnicity of a character for no reason, like Perry White in the new Superman movie, a traditionally white character being
with
made into a black man, you know, Kingpin being played by Michael Clark Duncan, things like that. I bitch about that on end because I need to bring that up because people will point that out at me. On the other hand, going to a convention dressed as a character is not the same thing as trying to change the ethnicity of a character in pop culture.
And that's a whole nother subject, so we won't go there because I do, you know, have words on that. But I'd like to be on a Radiodrome if you guys talk about that subject again. But again, how many times do you have, I mean, you've got female Robins from Batman. Female Link is very popular. And people even come out and they say, you know, those are two of the most sexy costumes that look better on women than they do men. Yet there's not the same stigma. I hate this like double-edged racism where some things are okay, but you know, if a black person does it, oh no, that's wrong. They're supposed to be white. But these same people don't have issues with the other stigma. It's like, and I don't, honestly, I don't even think it's a matter of hardcore cosplayers. I mean, some of them are probably just straight up racist. It has nothing to do with the fact that, oh, I'm a cosplayer and that's just wrong. I can guarantee you these people, especially, I mean, they drop the N-word, for God's sakes. So I saw this article, and I mean, this girl posts lots of pictures of her dressed up in various cosplay, and she's good. And I mean, she's fit, you know, so it's not a matter, because big people who are obviously bigger than the characters get a lot of flack too. And I mean, honestly, I have no right to dress up as Sailor Moon, because Sailor Moon is like this concave, perfect, skinny body. And, you know, I'm biggins on top with, you know, areas Sailor Moon is not developed yet. And so double standard and just an excuse for people to be racist who happen to be anime fans and cosplayers. And it gives cosplayers a bad name, because I know a lot of cosplayers, and they're some of the most chill people you will ever meet. But it baffles my mind. I just want to find these people and be like, well, you do realize you're white and dressing up as an Asian character, right? Like, that just bothers me. Okay, I know we're going on longer, but
it also comes down to, there are certain issues when it comes to, and I hate this term, and this will seg into our next topic, reverse racism. Because like I said, I don't think, and most people came down on me when I said, you know, the Kingpin should not be played by a black man because the character is traditionally white. On the same, they all called it, that's empowerment, it's being equal. Did the same thing that they've been saying about the new Annie movie that Will Smith is making, starring his daughter as Annie and himself as Daddy Warbucks, taking traditionally white characters and making them black. Now, on the same token,
They did that with Cinderella as well, with Whitney Houston and Brandy, I think.
Yes.
They did the fairy tale and turned that.
They also did it with The Honeymooners, with Cedric the Entertainer as Ralph Cramden. And again, everyone just calls that empowerment. Now, on the same token, if you would cast a movie, a remake of Shaft, starring Jason Statham as John Shaft, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, and all these people would be protesting about how a powerful black hero has been turned white, and this is offensive. And that offends me. And this will go directly into our next topic. I am sick and tired of any race or subgroup within a race being considered special. To me, blacks are not special. Whites are not special. Asians are not special. Gays are not special. We're all the same. I am sick of special interests trying to make it out that whatever your specific special interest is has some sort of speciality that other groups do not have.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was saying with the point of, you know, if a white girl had dressed up as the Frog Princess, you know, you might get the same reverse, but at the same time, you wouldn't have these people attacking this girl saying, oh, you can't do that, that's a black character. So, I mean, it's a double edge on all levels, honestly.
From the comments I was reading, it was just racist people that were making the comments.
Yeah, period. They obviously knew enough about it that, you know, it's a white character, and it's just, it makes me sick, honestly. Can't we all just get along?
Well, and then that leads us into, we're still going to be talking about racism. Okay, the week we're recording this, CPAC is going on. For people that don't know, CPAC is the Conservative Political Action Committee, which is basically a huge Republican circle jerk where they all get together, talk about Republican issues. I mean, the Democrats have theirs too, so don't think that I'm just picking on Republicans for even having CPAC. CPAC actually had a seminar at it this year called Are You Sick of Being Called a Racist? Because the Republicans are pissed off that they are constantly called racists when
they're being racist,
constantly making racist comments and racist policy. Gee, I wonder why we might think they're racists, right, Jillian?
That would be like, oh, I'm very, you know, women's issues, and, you know, I love women, I respect women, and then you're going around being like, those stupid cunts are on their periods or something. It's like, no, you are contradicting yourself so badly. That being said, though, if anybody doesn't know exactly what's been going on, in accordance to what you just said about the double standard, it kind of goes along with that, but that's not what this particular, you know, convention is about. They're specifically talking about the Republicans who have been coming out and saying racist things. Are you sick of being called racist? Because, I mean, honestly, if I'm in a restaurant and there are, you know, two black ladies and they are being extremely loud and obnoxious, you know, just like yelling, cussing, anything like that, I were to go and say to them, this is actually happening to me. If I go and be like, hey, I'm sorry, can you please keep it down? Suddenly I'm a racist. That has actually happened to me. Whereas if it was, you know, white people, it's kind of like, you know, they'll still cuss you out of just because they're jerk faces. You don't pull the race card because you're the same race. So it's things like that where it's like, I'm not being a racist because I ask you nicely and respectfully to be quiet. You are just being obnoxious. Now, if I would have said something like, hey, you black bitch, shut your, you know, pie hole, then yeah, that is a, you know, very derogatory statement. I could understand that.
Yeah.
It is the stigma where it's like, oh, I'm black and you're white. You can't say shit to me or you're racist.
What really is bringing this whole CPAC thing up, not only is the fact that, let's put it this way, Republican policy, and I'm not saying all Republicans, the Republicans are the party of racism. Let's say all policies are the same, okay? All facts are the same, except for we swap Joe Biden and Barack Obama. We make Barack Obama vice president and Joe Biden president. For the sake of this argument, Joe Biden spent time in Kenya as a child. So all facts are the same except for the race of the two people. You would not be seeing the Republicans calling Joe Biden the food stamp president. You would not have seen Rush Limbaugh during the election sing the Barack the Magic Negro song. You would not see people like Rush Limbaugh and Newt Gingrich talking about how, oh, do you want a African American as your president? You would not see this bullshit. It is not the policies that the Republicans have an issue with. They don't like a black man telling them what to do because he's supposed to be bringing a tray to their table and then going away with a tip.
It would be the same thing. I mean, hell, we went over that one congressman or senator or congresswoman or senator that was saying women shouldn't be allowed to vote because they're unstable and emotional. If there was a woman in the presidency, you know, the same shit would be going on. But instead of racism, it would be derogatory comment. Right. Thing is, you know, if they don't like somebody, they're going to find the worst, most offensive way to attack that person. And racism is such a hot button that that's what they're going for. And they know that a large part of the country is against Obama because they're racist. I mean, look at how they ran things going on. And so if you can play that card and amp that up, you're going to get these racist, redneck, jerk face assholes. Yeah, man. And it's going to catch on. They're going to be like, I like that guy. He thinks like I think. It's all a fucking sick, twisted game. And you know what? Every large civilization is their own downfall. And honestly, the way things have been going over the years, over the decades, you know, America's going to go the way of Rome. We are fucking ourselves so bad. I mean, not even talking about morality and just, you know, human decency, but just, I mean, hell, with the Republicans saying that unless Obama drops Obamacare, they're not going to sign the new budget. Yes, thank you. You know, I mean, just simply things like that where you are purposefully fucking over your own country because you know you've got enough money and shit, you know, if fucks over everybody else. So you are in a position where you can fuck people over and get people behind, you know, oh, we'll drop Obamacare, except for the people that really truly need it. You are basically, you're being like a little fucking brat who's like, I'm not going to do this unless you do this. No, and you go like dead weight and your parents have to drag you to your room. This is exactly what they're doing.
Well, and then you also have to look at, now this isn't necessarily the Republican Party that I'm going to be talking about here. Because the person that said this is not some representative or anything, but I think he's far more representative of your average Republican voter than he isn't. A 30-year-old attendee named Scott Terry of North Carolina stood up at CPAC during a panel. He basically argued that slavery was not only a good thing, but that black people should have been thanking their masters for giving them food and shelter and only asking them to work for them. I am quoting here. When Douglass escaped from slavery, I think 10 or 20 years after he escaped, he writes a letter to his former slave master and said, "I forgive you for all the things you did to me." For giving him food and shelter? That
forgiving and being thankful are different. Forgiving and being thankful are, you know, you don't see someone who's like, "Okay, I forgive my attacker." You're not going to say, "I thank you for attacking me and leaving me alive." Like, that's just stupid. First of all, I know we're both grr on this, so we are going to be interrupting each other, and I apologize to the listeners if it ends up getting like a clusterfuck. Why would you even make that statement? Because are there even any, you know, people that were in slavery that are alive today?
No.
Like, is that even a poignant statement to make? It's not like you're saying, you know,
well,
and I mean,
he was,
I guess,
setting
that was
himself
his segue
up, though,
into
Jillian.
The next one. Yeah,
Jillian, he was setting himself up, because his next comment was that he believed African Americans should be permanently subservient to whites, and that African Americans should, quote, only be allowed to vote in Africa, since that's where they are from.
What the fuck? It's like, you know what? Where did your fucking ancestors come from? You know, it's like, you're not Native American, asshole.
Exactly.
You know,
and then,
go back to Europe, go back to Ireland or whatever the fuck. Like, none of us, unless you're Native American, you know, or you have heritage that, you know, down the line, you fucking came, you were an immigrant. Like, your family was immigrants. I'm sorry.
Except, see, okay, I think it was Real Time with Bill Maher. It was last season sometime, so last year. They took a video camera and went down south, and they were just asking people, just normal people off the street, what do you think of Obama? The general answer, and they did not edit these, because there were ones that said, "I think he's doing a fine job too." The vast majority were, "That nigger don't speak for me," or, "That nigger ain't my president." That's the way, that's the Republican base. The Republican base is the people that are going, I ain't taking orders from no nigger. He ain't
exactly
my president.
That's why I said these people are pandering, because they know that they can get this mass amount of population that feels this way. You know, it's the same with these figures that are making, you know, anti-gay statements, because they know that there's a large amount of, and I mean, obviously not all, because there are super religious people that are just very, very bigoted, that they are just speaking, you know, from the heart, but it's like, they have no filter. It just sickens me. Attitudes, I mean, not even of public figures, just the general attitudes towards other human beings, you know, to quote, going on another Futuronics, we do Bender, but like, and this is a big meme around Facebook and everything, to quote Professor Farnsworth from Futurama, "I don't want to live on this planet anymore."
Right, and then you also, another argument that, and yes, I have only heard this argument from Republicans, really, really far right-wing Republicans, but Republicans nonetheless, that black people should be thankful they're here at all, because if we had not enslaved them and forcibly removed them from their continent, that they would still be living in huts, dying of starvation and AIDS, and that every black person in America today owes a slave owner a degree of gratitude for having bought one of their ancestors and bringing them over here.
Fuck,
I've actually heard that argument, Jillian.
I mean, and going back to the food stamp president and this and that, it's like, fucking really, you know, he's trying to make things better. And you've got all of these people who have sticks up their asses about, you know, they're making God knows how much, you know, in Congress. And I actually sent you another article that we will talk about, you know, in the upcoming weeks about just how many days people who serve in Congress will be working throughout the year. And it'll make you sick.
It's not many. Let's put it that way.
No. But, you know, you look at things like that, and it's like, this is someone who's actually trying to help the lower class, you know. Even people who aren't upper class have this attitude and this disdain towards people who need help from the government. Now, you know, we've talked about
to them, it's all looking for a handout.
You have people in the regular population where, you know, they're not even higher class that have the stigma against people who need assistance from the government. And we have talked previously on the show about, you know, the lady that was like, everybody should be paying for my kids and purposefully getting pregnant so she can get more money. I'm not talking about those people. Obviously, in any situation, you're going to have people who abuse the system. But there are genuine people, you know, trying to make a living, working hard, that still need assistance from the government. I've seen people that I know, and, you know, I'm ashamed because I see it on Facebook And, you know, they've complained about it saying like, oh, well, you know, I'm sick of this stuff with people being on assistance and they're in the grocery store.
I've seen
and,
those.
You know, I see their cell phone or I see their iPhone, this and that. It's like, you know what? Yeah, there are people who may be abusing the system, but there are also people. It's like when you have that phone, first of all, you can get an iPhone pretty much free with a plan, and you can't make the argument that it's like, well, they shouldn't have a phone, because a lot of times cell phone plans now are cheaper than fucking landlines, okay?
Agreed.
You've got family plans, you know, things like that. So you're looking at that, like, they may have gotten that iPhone for $40 fucking, or their situation may have changed. Their iPhone could have been first gen, and, you know, it's been, what, 5 years or what have you, and suddenly, you know, they lose their job, they're trying to make things work, and you're going to fucking judge their situation on a goddamn phone, and you're going to be, like, so high and mighty. It's like, fucking really, you know what? These same people who are making these statements, these bigoted statements, when they run into tough times and they, you know, need this assistance, you know they're fucking going to use it. And it's like, but you can't make the argument of like, oh, well, they should sell everything they own to try and make it. It's like, you know what? That is a short term. It's like that covers, you know, the economy sucks, guys. You know, you can't sell every single one of your belongings to be like, well, I could get assistance and, you know, I'm living month to month and I don't have enough to eat. But, you know, I'll sell, you know, some of my DVDs that I had back in the day. It's like, good. You can eat for that month and now you're fucked. What are you going to do? You know, it just makes me sick that people judge even on how they dress, you know, and be like, oh, well, they were wearing a nice coat and da da da. It's like, you know what? I've been to Goodwill. They've got really nice.
Exactly. You can get good shit cheap.
Someone. And it's like, what gives you the right to judge someone unless you know exactly where they're coming from? Like with that lady who was like, you know, purposefully getting pregnant and saying government will pay for all this and she wasn't spending it on her kids. That makes me sick. I'm sorry. No,
it's because the system is fundamentally broken. Because when you're on assistance, when you're on food stamps, when you're on welfare, you get just enough to live. Not live comfortably, but just enough to live. Now, if you get a minimum wage 40-hour-a-week job, you're actually worse off because your benefits immediately get cut. Not on a sliding scale. It's, you know what? I was actually saving $100 a month on food by not working. That's a fundamental flaw in the social service system in America. It should be a gradual sliding scale. Oh, you make minimum wage? Well, you still get so much in food stamps and so much in housing assistance. Not, okay, you have a job, now you're off welfare. And now when you're working, you're actually coming out below where you were not working. So the system itself encourages you to be on the system.
You know, it's there for assistance so you don't end up on the street so you can eat and not fucking starve. It's not there so that you can live, you know, over comfortably and not look, you know, not look for something to contribute and, you know, make your own money.
Exactly. Unfortunately, we went way off topic. We started talking about racism.
It kind of applied. I mean, it all segued.
It did. So after Heart, we'll be back. We'll talk about something that we promised we'd talk about last week. It's on the surface, it seems funny, but in reality, it's not. Nudist Colony
of the Dead. In the irreverent vein of Little Shop of Horrors, now comes Nudist Colony of the Dead, a horror, comedy, zombie, romance musical now in its third month at the Complex Theater in Hollywood. Nudist Colony of the Dead, with 10 totally demented musical numbers and a lot of dead naked dancing girls.
We are naked, gay, and
their spirituality.
There's no need for lust.
Gore.
And I don't care if he chops off my whole head.
Mass murder.
Kill, kill, kill all the zealots.
Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Heart Attack Sandwiched in the middle of a what the fuck. Josh, how's your day going?
I've actually had a pretty decent day today. And I know that's weird for me to say, but it's been pretty decent today for once.
Wow, that's cool, man. That's good to hear. And, you know, I just want to share with everybody at home right away, American Horrors, our first Christmas special, is going to air March 31st on American Horrors on Easter Sunday in the evening. Look for it around at 8-ish, you know, 8-ish, because you never really know if it's some programming gets dropped on accident. It could go on a little bit earlier. So Sunday night, March 31st, American Horrors Christmas special. going to be a lot of fun. Lots of cool stuff on there. It's our very first Christmas special. And yes, we're airing it on Easter Sunday. And it's free to watch at www.filmon.com. That's filmon.com. But I want to get into this thing here where here in Highland Park, I've been joking about, you know, all the white people are moving in and ruining everything. And sure enough, we've got this gentleman named Joseph Bray Ali. I don't know if I'm saying it right, but he owns a local bike shop. And thanks to this guy, they've removed a lane of traffic on an emergency corridor here right by my house. And they've reduced it to one lane on one side. And they installed a fucking bike lane in here. A bike lane nobody uses, nobody needs, nobody really asked for, except for the guy who owns the bike shop. Gee whiz, the guy who owns the bike shop, he's been pushing for more and more bike lanes. They want to remove car lanes on an already congested street that is the main emergency corridor for fire trucks and police cars. And since they've installed these bike lanes, not only has it impacted the emergency response times of the fire department and the police department, it also endangers the fire department and our police officers because they're being forced to drive in the opposite lanes of traffic in order to get down the street now. I mean, does that sound real bright to you, Dosh?
Like somebody putting money over safety, and it's all about, well, my bank account gets bigger, so a couple of lives maybe get lost. Big deal.
And, you know, it's not even a, it's, I don't even know whose bank account's getting bigger on this. Just one businessman who's affecting every business up and down York. And these businesses have all said, hey, this is affecting my business between 3 and 6 p.m. I'm losing a lot of business. Even McDonald's has complained that they're losing sales because of the congestion and the fact that you can't, like, turn into these businesses. You can't, like, turn left into them. You know what I'm saying? The traffic's so backed up now that it's been reduced to this one lane. It's also causing more accidents for the bikers in the bike lanes by jackasses who are texting in their car and crap. Because, you know, when you put in a bike lane, folks, it's not an invisible force field. You're still just driving on the road with cars, man. There's nothing different. And I'm a kid who got hit on my bike more than once by assholes who blew stop signs.
Damn.
Yeah.
So what's going on with this guy? Is anyone, obviously you're standing up to him. Is anyone else, or are you just howling into the wind?
Well, you know, I've been hearing about this dude. I've been talking to local business owners and I've been asking them about this because frankly, this is kind of screwed with my life too. You know, my wife has this, she's a cancer survivor, and one of her legs is swollen up. She has a lymph issue with one leg. So it's difficult for her to ride the bike. She can't really ride a bike around the neighborhood. So she's driving in a car. So now all of a sudden, when she's trying to go to the grocery store and get us groceries and stuff, well, Jesus, she's stuck in this mile-long traffic now when it wasn't there before. And frankly, there's more and more people moving into this neighborhood all the time because it's hip Highland Park, and this biker dude does not seem to care. He has been online harassing these other business owners. There's a guy who I've got a lot of respect for. He runs the Boulevard Sentinel, which is the local giveaway paper, and the dude is fantastic on the crime beat. Again, this is Boulevard Sentinel here in Eagle Rock and Highland Park, California, and it's a great paper. He does a great job reporting. He cares about the neighborhood. He's a lifelong resident. He grew up here since he was a child, and as soon as he starts saying, hey, wait a minute, we've got some issues here, you know, it only takes 1 minute for a baby to die of smoke inhalation. It doesn't take long, and when you slow down the fire trucks, you're slowing down their ability to, one, put up fire, obviously. Two, they need to get there fast so kids and old people don't die of smoke inhalation. That's why it's so important for those fire trucks to be able to blaze down and get to where they need to go. It's really, really important. And people's lives are at stake. And this guy is talking some rosy pie in the sky. I need a bike lane, says the bicycle shop owner. And he's gotten hateful, man. He has been stalking these dudes online. And since I've started speaking up about this issue, he's doing it to me. That's right. He's actually posting as he's making up fake names to post on the petition, harassing my wife. Waka Fisher is now Walking Fisher. Listen to what these jackasses post under Walking Fisher. These bike lane freaks need to be arrested for sexually harassing, tomb tipping, waving their bike shorts around like they own Eagle Rock. this into your head. Car drivers own the streets. Get used to it or go play in them. This is serious business. Somebody sue that bike bully. They're posting all this weird shit to make it look like the car drivers are insane people. They're writing hate-spewing venom all over the Boulevard Sentinel's Facebook page. And they're just really nasty people. They're making up identities to sign up on this petition. They're posting all day long, spewing hate, and never dealing with the fact that, you know, maybe the police officers might actually want to be able to get to the shootings that are happening around Highland Park. You know, there's shootings here, there's carjackings here, there's home invasions here. And, you know, maybe this guy might care about the police getting there quickly when it's his house or his family. And here's another one, guys. They want to take away lanes of traffic on Figueroa, which is another big north-south emergency corridor, and they want to take away a lane of traffic on Colorado Boulevard right by a major grocery store that, guess what, is expanding. It's expanding, and they're bringing in more stores and more shopping, so let's get rid of more vehicle traffic. It's insane, dude. It doesn't make any sense at all. And now, so this dude is just going off all day long, harassing, posting. Hey, Joseph. It's not going to work, man. The only one that looks like a uncommunicable disease is you, buddy. You are the disease. You are a business owner who has put your business needs and concerns in front of everybody else's safety. And it's obvious. The more you post, the more people can see. Rational people read this stuff, and they see, who is this crazy guy? And they're making up fake identities to sign this petition. Let me tell you where you guys can go to check this out. You're going to go to change.org. Los Angeles City Councilman Jose Huizar, that's J-O-S-E-H-U-I-Z-A-R, don't remove traffic lanes on North Figueroa. They're having a big meeting next week on March 27th at Occidental College, and it is here in Highland Park, and it's all about to let Jose Huizar know that, hey, I want to keep my traffic lanes so fire trucks can get in and out. I want to keep my traffic lanes so that police cars can get up and down the street. Or how about this one, guys? We got a real problem with fire in this neighborhood. We got a real problem here with fires coming over the hill. And when you got to evacuate, you need to get in your car. If you want to get your family out of an emergency situation, perhaps there's an earthquake, you need your car, guys, not your bike lane. That's a friggin' joke. A friggin' joke. And all it's doing is making things more dangerous for everybody. We haven't even addressed the issue of the fact that when you create more congestion, those cars sit there and idle. And where does that exhaust go? The exhaust is sitting there in that traffic. And how good's that going to be for the biker riding in the biker lane? All that extra excess traffic juice and goo and nastiness dripping onto the sidewalks, all the pollution sitting there, and you're going to ride along next to it? That's not real bright, man. You want traffic to flow. I mean, everybody already knows bikes have right-of-way, man. Bikes already have the right-of-way. You don't need your own little lane because you live in California and everybody needs their own place to walk. You're fine. You're a vehicle. You got laws that protect you. Just ride your bike like a mature person. Be a mature, law-abiding citizen and just get along, and we'll get along. Everything's fine.
And on top of all that, you were complaining that you had like a statue or some shit stolen off your lawn while you were walking your dog or something last night?
No, man. You know, I've been bitching and joking about all the white people moving into Highland Park and how they're changing shit for the worse. You know, it's like it's getting harder and harder for me to park my car on street cleaning days because, you know, white people don't like to pull into their driveway. I don't have a driveway, guys. I have to park on the street. But I see all these lazy bastards who can't be bothered to park in their own driveway because they've got two cars and no one wants to have to move their cars to let the other guy in or out. It's kind of funny. Cracks me up. But anyway, I had this wood carving on my front porch, and the other day I went to walk my dog, and the time it took me to leave the house, walk the dog, come back, someone had stolen it right off my front porch, broad daylight. Yeah, it's been up there for about 7 years, and when there were gangbangers and crazy maniacs living in the neighborhood, nothing walked off my porch. But as soon as you get a bunch of stupid, silly-ass white people, goes walking. I don't know.
The neighborhood just goes downhill when you start adding white folks to it.
I tell you, it really does. It really does. What's next, man? What's next? A mochaccino machine on every corner? I don't know.
Might as well go to American Horrors at filmon.com and watch someone get maybe killed with something, right?
Yeah, you know, it's free. It's free. It's available worldwide. And frankly, we've got lots of cool stuff that we're adding to the channel. We're going to be making some big announcements. And, you know, Josh and I are discussing some big, big changes in store for Heart Attack. But we'll talk about that on another episode.
There once was a lady who got sick of the city, so she made herself a plan to get out of the city, find her roots in the jungle where a woman is a woman and a man is a man. She went looking for her mate. She didn't find a man, so she found herself an ape. She's an ape, she's a lady, the mistress of the apes.
Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
So, Jillian, we've talked about things like this before, not this specific one. And now, originally when we teased this, we were going to talk about an upcoming bill. The bill just failed this week, so it's not going to happen, but I still think it's worth talking about. Bill HB 1674 would basically have allowed Oklahoma schools to teach whatever it wanted, including intelligent design, including that dinosaurs coexisted with man, including the lies that Charles Darwin recanted on his deathbed and hoped that he would be accepted into heaven, which has been completely disproven, but is something that religious people love to quote back at evolutionists. Jillian, this
whatever,
is just...
Whatever, I believe what I want.
Pretty much. What this does is it basically, and if this had passed, it basically
it
would have opened
up...
It basically would have opened up, all right, boys, anything goes!
Pretty much, because you're talking about beliefs. Now, this is not necessarily a matter, I mean, aside from teaching creationism, this is not necessarily a matter of religion in the schools. It goes much deeper than that, because it blatantly states that, you know, on science papers, things like that, kids would be allowed to write what their beliefs are and could not be graded poorly on it. So basically, if your religion and your parents, you know, teach you a certain, like, you could just, like, make up a fucking religion.
Scientology.
I wasn't going to say anything. I left that open for interpretation. You can basically make up a religion and say, these are my religious beliefs. I believe this. Therefore, it is true. Therefore, my child is writing a paper on this and doesn't have to study factual history. And here's the problem I have. Is just, you know, there's certain facts, and I don't remember anywhere where dinosaurs were in the Bible that this should even be a factor. Like, that's just, you know, if this is some new thing in certain religions, all right, but that's not what you're being tested on. You're being tested on the material, if you choose not to believe that material. So, I mean, to me, honestly, there are more problems in schools than whether Jesus and people, you know, as we know today, people existed with fucking dinosaurs. You've got people being, you know, interviewed on streets by random quiz shows and don't know how many legs a fucking spider has, which you could probably ask well, not in today's world because of what's being taught in schools. But, you know, we've talked about people not knowing that the Titanic wasn't just a movie. The people thinking that the world is only 2013 years old. You've got people tweeting that they don't know what a fucking vowel is, and it's not, you know, a joke.
Wow, vowels.
Yes, like they don't know, you know, the spell your name without a vowel. They had all of these people that were, you know, seriously tweeting, like, I don't understand this. What's a vowel? And I mean, I'm sure joke ones came after that, but this was a real thing where these people didn't know what a fucking vowel is. How do you go through school and not know what a vowel is? And I just heard this new thing, and I'll have to find an article on it. It just light bulbs in my head. In certain schools, and again, I apologize, I don't have the information. We will get on this. They are making it so they don't teach cursive anymore, except maybe how to sign your name. To me, it's like, what are we at that point where it's too hard to learn cursive? It's like, you've got to know cursive to sign your name. I understand if, you know, it's a problem with things being illegible where if you write a note to somebody, they can't read your handwriting, or papers in school or something, if the teacher's like, look, I can't read your cursive. But there is a way where you can write cursive and have people read it. And we are just in that point in our society where apparently it's too fucking hard for kids to learn cursive because, number one, I can tell you, they don't want to work at it. Or number two, mommy and daddy don't know what the fuck they're doing. You know, I mean, I understand the whole algebra, things like that, complex math that you learn when you're a kid or a young adult, that if you don't use it, you lose it. So obviously they have these helplines for kids now so they can go through school. And depending on what your major and role in life is, you probably won't use algebra or complex equations. But there are certain jobs where, you know, you need to know a shit ton of math. So I get that parents can't necessarily help their kids with stuff that they learned oh so many years ago, or, you know, maybe 5 years ago if they again the kids.
Well, I've got something I want to go off on. So
go ahead. You go off.
In a way, I think they handled, and when I say they, I'm meaning the religious right, handled this very intelligently for once. Because what they tried to do is they knew they were not going to be able to get so that global warming is a myth, which is something that they believe. So they went about this, because what they did is they didn't say we want to be able to teach creationism. They said we want what they are calling open texts. We want open science. So then that way, what you believe is what you're taught. So if the majority or even just the teacher believes in evolution, then that's what he'll teach. If he believes in creationism, that's what he'll teach. And
okay.
In a way, that's very smart because they avoided the obvious religious issue off the top. That was a smart way to do it.
If you've got people that are Nazis, are they allowed to teach that the Holocaust never happened if they don't believe the Holocaust happened?
According to the wording of this bill, yes, they would.
You know, let me just go off of this. If you've got so many people, it's like, you know, they'd be okay. Be like, oh, okay, they're teaching religion and my kid knows religion. If they started teaching Muslim beliefs, Jewish beliefs, anything else, there'd be an uproar. These people are just so bent on, you know, teaching their religion. They don't care about anything else. You know what? If you want to teach your kid religion, you want to teach your kid different beliefs, that's fine. Do it at fucking home. You know, the place is not public schools. You should not be teaching beliefs. You know, there is no reason. Everything is like, oh, the school should do this. Like, even with fucking sex ed, got these kids that only know what they know in sex ed, and the parents don't want to do it because it's weird and it's uncomfortable. And then once the parent doesn't like what's being taught in sex ed, suddenly it's an uproar with the school instead of you sitting your kid down and telling them the morals that you want them to learn. No, we shouldn't tell kids to wear condoms. That's encouraging them, you know, to have sex. It's like, you know what? Then fucking talk to your kid. Be like, yeah, when you're ready, when you're old enough, these things called condoms exist and they're good for you to use. But, and teach them, you know, the way. All right. Just
and that's
because
exactly what? Right.
Your kid can look up any fucking thing on the internet. The internet is more damaging than a fucking public school if you look at, you know, what they could find. So you know what? It's just, I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm going to blow up. I can feel my blood pressure rising, and I apologize.
The true danger, Jillian, the true danger of these bills, and there's been 8 of them in the last couple of years that have tried, all failed. They are so open-ended that, like you said, you'd be able to teach Nazi beliefs. You'd be able to teach, get this, religious people, Muslim beliefs. You'd be able to teach anything as a
Scientology.
Fact.
What if you had a teacher Scientologist? You know, your kid's going to be going,
right.
You are going to confuse the fuck out of your kids. School is so that you learn facts, learn history, whatever. And you know what? Religious beliefs in accordance to, you know, science history is the least of your problems of what your kid isn't fucking learning. You've got schools where they say, oh, okay, well, we're not going to fail kids because, you know, they'll have low self-esteem and things like that. And it's like, you know what? If you're a kid and you know there's no way you're going to fail and you just have to sit there for 4 years and just do whatever, you're not going to fucking try and learn. And that's our future. We are fucking our own future with all of this lazy goddamn culture because we've become lazy. You don't go to the library anymore and look at the encyclopedias when you have to do a paper. You go online. You don't handwrite notes in college anymore. You take out your fucking laptop, which, I mean, I'm not saying all of this is necessarily bad, but this is the way we're going. We are a heightened technological society, not even higher than other places. You look at stuff other places have, and they're way past us. But we are a lazy society, and I mean, I'm not even going to go into the whole obesity thing, but I mean, that does kind of show, you know, we don't exercise. You don't see kids playing outside anymore unless you pass a school and it's recess. What are they doing? They're, you know, online surfing the internet. They're playing video games, which, you know, I'm a gamer. That's fine. I still fucking go outside and do shit. You know, I mean, not as much as I used to because my energy, and I'm old, and I tell them, kids, get off my lawn. So you've got this situation where, you know, parents are not as involved with their kids. And in part of that, I'm not saying that's all on the parents, because, you know, you have parents who were both have to work jobs now. We're at that point in society and the economy where you can't really have a stay-at-home parent unless
you have a parent. Yeah, this goes back to the last segment.
Unless they have, you know, a really good job. But you have a point where, you know, like I talked about this on the whole technology thing that we did like months ago, where you've got even commercials where there's like a 3-year-old thumbing through, you know, their Kindle being read a book by a machine. Paper books teach hand-eye coordination. Like, what happened to parents reading with their children? It's, oh, I have a TV babysitter now. I have this device that's going to sit there and read with my child. It's like people, we are just in such a go, go, go society that, you know, the kids are suffering. And I've talked about this so many times when I work in school, and what kids are being taught by their parents is just like, you know, someone gets in your face, you fucking slug them no matter what. Like, it's just this mentality, and it's going on a downward slope, and it's saddening. You know, it's like I almost, if I got into a relationship and I found someone we were married, like, I don't even know if I'd want to have kids at this point just because of the way the world's going. And I'm not saying all parents are lazy. I'm not saying all kids are lazy. I'm just speaking in broad generalizations, and honestly, you guys listening, no matter where you live, I'm sure you see it too, and you get what I'm saying.
Eric Meikle of the National Center for Science Education has a perfect quote about the insanity that we've just been talking about. If every teacher, parent, and school board can decide what to teach on their own, you're going to have chaos. You can't deluge kids with every theory that's ever been considered since the beginning of time. And see, Jillian, this is the reason that America is not even at the tail end of scientific theory and knowledge in the world. We are almost dead last, excluding the third fucking world. No one takes America seriously because we teach creationism. We teach that global warming is a theory rather than a fact. That we don't teach our children. We don't teach the future of our world. We are the laughingstock of the scientific community when you take the entire world into consideration. Because whenever there's a breakthrough in genetics, where does it come from? Europe. Whenever there's a breakthrough in medicine, where does it come from? Europe. Whenever there's a breakthrough in science or technology, where does it come from? Asia. Whenever there's a breakthrough in curing a disease, where does it come from? Europe. You notice a pattern here? That's
and
the especially problem.
Especially with, you know, what's going on with these schools, it's like it's the same government and problems. It's they're focusing and fighting over the wrong issues. It's little things versus, you know, the real shit we have to take care of. And you're going through, and especially with the thing about not failing kids, like, they're not going to learn anything. This is our future that's supposed to advance things for the future. You're going to have people who don't know how to do shit, and all of the important jobs that are around right now, science, you know, I mean, yeah, they'll still be doctors and everything, but, you know, those people are driven. But you're going to have, you know, NASA even. Look at NASA and what it used to be, what it is now, and instead pay rate of these people. You've got people in Congress who are arguing over nickels and dimes, being like, I want more money. I should get paid more money. Why? You know, for fucking arguing shit? Oh, your job is so fucking hard. You have to go and, you know, play games with trying to get people out of office that you don't like, you know, and trying to push your beliefs on other people. Your job is so fucking hard that you deserve more money. And with the new amount of days that you have to work or not work, yeah, you deserve more fucking money. Fuck you.
Well, it goes back to something we talked about. I don't even remember how long ago. That a city garbage man is paid 3 to 4 times in excess of what a teacher is paid, because that's where our priorities are. The short term of we don't want garbage piling up on our street, rather than we don't want garbage piling up in our future. And that's what happens yeah. when you pay a teacher the same rate that you pay the kid that hands out breadsticks at Fazoli's.
And I mean, I kind of get that mentality. I'm not saying it's right, but there is a matter of shit jobs. And if you don't pay people enough, they're not going to do it. And garbage, like you talk about, you know, oh, McDonald's a shit job, blah, blah, blah. Like garbage man is way worse than, you know, McDonald's. And you're still going to have people that, you know, well, I need a fucking job. I'll do this. I kind of get, you know, the mentality of certain really bad jobs, but you've got other things where teachers get underpaid. It's not comparative, and
it's ridiculous. And you know, we've got to end the show, but I hope you people out there get what, for once, Jillian and I are on the same side of an issue, which that doesn't happen all that often. But
we've been on the same side quite a bit because the issues have just been so like wrong. That's wrong.
So
horrible.
Black and white, really. I hope you guys understand. You cannot teach religion. You cannot make up facts. A fact is a fact. Whether you believe it or not, it doesn't change that from being a fact. What will change is whether you know it is a fact or whether you think it is a belief. And that will affect you. All that these programs do that want to teach creationism, teach intelligent design, that kind of shit, all that does is it's totally nerfing you for when you get into the real world. The real world is going to eat you alive, kid.
And it's not their fault.
No, it's the current generation's fault for what the problems the next generation is going to encounter. So we've got to wrap it up, though. Jillian, where can people find you?
You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. I am The Mistress J, and at www.thecinemasnob.com.
And occasionally at geekjuicemedia.com. You can find me at 1201beyond.com, 1201beyond@gmail.com to contact the show, geekjuicemedia.com, and I hope you guys have a nice night. Night.
Night.